Picture a man alone on a glacier, wrapped in nothing but a thin blanket, having just failed to reach the summit of the world's second highest peak. Most would call this defeat. Greg Mortensen calls it the beginning. After getting lost on his descent from K2, weak and disoriented, he stumbled into Korpe, a village so remote that children learned by scratching letters in frozen dirt with sticks. No classrooms, no books, just 82 kids kneeling on the ground, hungry for knowledge they could barely access. In that moment, watching those children practice their lessons in the bitter cold, Mortensen made a promise that seemed impossible. "I'm going to build you a school." What followed wasn't just the story of one school. It became a movement that would challenge how we think about fighting extremism, building peace, and honoring the communities we aim to help. Mortensen's empathy was forged in Tanzania, where his father built the country's first teaching hospital, and his mother ran an international school. Young Greg climbed Kilimanjaro at 11, mastered Swahili, and absorbed a crucial lesson. His father predicted that within a decade, all hospital department heads would be Tanzanian, not expats. This vision of empowerment over imposition became Greg's blueprint. Tragedy deepened his character. His sister Krista suffered from severe epilepsy, and Greg became her protector. When both his father and Krista died within months of each other, grief nearly consumed him. The K2 expedition was meant to honor Krista through conquest. Instead, it led him to honor her through connection, something that would outlast any summit photo. Living out of his car in California, Mortensen sent 580 fundraising letters and received one response, a $100 check from Tom Brokaw. Then elementary students collected 62,345 pennies, and Swiss physicist Jean Hernie, inventor of a crucial silicon chip process, wrote a check for the full $12,000 needed. Mortensen sold everything, including his climbing gear and car, and returned to Pakistan with supplies on a decorated Bedford truck. The journey north along the Karakoram Highway was harrowing, past armed roadblocks, along cliffs where one mistake meant plummeting into the Indus River. When he reached Skardu, his supplies vanished, hijacked by a man demanding the school be built in his village instead. Refusing manipulation, Mortensen pressed on to Korpe. That's when Haji Ali delivered a crucial lesson. Before building a school, they needed a bridge to transport materials across the raging river. Progress, Mortensen learned, happens on the community's timeline, not the outsiders. When Mortensen returned with bridge funding, villagers had already quarried hundreds of granite slabs. 35 men walked an entire day to retrieve 800-pound cable spools. But during construction, Mortensen drove workers relentlessly, obsessing over every detail. One day, Haji Ali led him up a mountainside, confiscated his tools, and told him bluntly, "Sit down and shut your mouth." Over tea, the illiterate chief taught the educated American about patience. The first time you share tea with a Balti, you are a stranger. The second time, an honored guest. The third time, you become family. Relationships matter more than timelines. When a corrupt leader demanded 12 prized rams as a bribe, the village painfully surrendered them. That night, Haji Ali showed Mortensen his Quran, confessing he couldn't read it, "The greatest sadness in my life." He vowed to pay any price so Korpe's children would never know that feeling. Mortensen realized his struggles paled beside the sacrifices this illiterate leader made for education. By 2001, Mortensen's Central Asia Institute was building schools across northern Pakistan, prioritizing girls' education. "Once you educate the boys, they tend to leave the villages and go search for work in the cities," Mortensen explained. "But the girls stay home, become leaders in the community, and pass on what they've learned." That spring in Shigar Valley, he noticed something alarming: identical white minarets funded by Saudi and Kuwaiti money. Behind 20-foot walls stood Wahhabi madrasas teaching extremist ideology. Organizations like Al Haramain Foundation had built over 1,100 mosques and schools in Pakistan, employing 6,000 teachers. KI's resources were peanuts by comparison. Pakistan's broken education system created perfect conditions for extremism. While wealthy children attended elite private schools, poor families had few options beyond madrasas offering free room and board. By 2001, roughly 2 million Pakistani students attended these schools, with 15 to 20% receiving military training alongside curricula emphasizing jihad and hatred of the West. Then came September 11th. Mortensen was in a remote village when he learned that a village called New York has been bombed. Days later, at Kawardu School's inauguration, Syed Abbas told the crowd, "We share in the sorrow as people weep and suffer in America today. Those who have committed this evil act against the innocent do not do so in the name of Islam." After 9/11, Mortensen returned home to hate mail, calling him a traitor for sympathizing with innocent Muslims. For the first time, he considered quitting. Instead, he went to Washington and spoke to Congress. "Terror doesn't happen because some group simply decides to hate us. It happens because children aren't being offered a bright enough future that they have a reason to choose life over death." At the Pentagon, he challenged military planners, proposing that the cost of a single $840,000 Tomahawk missile could build dozens of schools providing non-extremist education for an entire generation. Though offered $2.2 million for 100 schools, Mortensen declined. His credibility depended on not being associated with the American military. In Kabul, he met Uzra Faisad, principal of Durkhani School, where 4,500 students attended in three shifts despite severely damaged facilities. She still wore her burqa by choice. When asked if she felt oppressed looking through its slit, she replied, "We women of Afghanistan see the light through education, not through this or that hole in a piece of cloth." When journalist Kevin Fidarko visited Korpay, he witnessed something that made him lose all objectivity for the first time in 16 years. Jahan, a young woman graduate of Korpay School, boldly interrupted a circle of 30 men and demanded Mortensen fulfill his promise to fund her medical training. Her confidence was revolutionary, unthinkable before education transformed her. Fidarko's resulting Parade magazine cover story reached 34 million Americans and generated over $1 million in donations, transforming CAI from near bankruptcy to sustainability. In Afghanistan, Mortensen met Kamandan Sadar Khan in Baharak, surrounded by boulder fields where each stone represented a Mujahideen martyr who died fighting Russians and Taliban. "Now we must make their sacrifice worthwhile," Khan told him. "We must turn these stones into schools." Mortensen saw his future: new languages to learn, months away from family, unknown dangers ahead, but also children who would learn to read, girls who would become doctors, communities that would choose hope over hatred. One school at a time, one cup of tea at a time. Because lasting change doesn't come from cruise missiles. It comes from the patient work of building bridges between worlds.